When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
A lot of the tribes of the Native Americans have multiple genders, but the one that I researched for my grandmothers was five genders. They have the extreme masculine, extreme feminine, then the regular masculine, regular feminine, then they have the middle man, the medicine man, the spiritual two-spirit in the middle. That's usually the person that does the medicine stuff, the spiritual guidance and all that. That's usually your middle person, and that's the person that they call two-spirit. So a lot of times the masculine, feminine, masculine, however you want to put it, would stay at the camp and take care of the women. And some of the more masculine, masculine women would go out and actually fight the wars.
Right.
But, and the two-spirit people were very revered because they were the even keel in this, you know, in the tribes. And so once I started looking into it and learning it, I realized that that's, even though sometimes it's even hard for me to understand or to relate to, because it's always, because it's ingrained in our heads, man and woman. But when you think about it, it's just all made up.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all. The show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your gay host. And you, my friends, are tuning into this show that highlights, uplifts, celebrates, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our beautiful identities. And we cover a lot of identities in this here episode. Whoa, before I get into our guests today, I have to say a huge thank you to our newest Patreon member. A huge thank you to Katie Grant. Katie, you rock my world. You're amazing. Thank you so much for supporting this here little show that could. And you too, at home, can support this show too. If you go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast, you can support us for just as little as $2 a month. You just go there, you pick a tier, and you join, and you're going to get episodes dropped a day early over there and any other bonus content I can think to share. Thank you so much if you do. And Katie, you rock my world. Can't say it enough. All right, okay. Bonnie and Leland, y'all. You heard the clip a second ago where Leland was talking about how they identify as two-spirit. So we go into that a bit, and Bonnie identifies as dyke or queer, and we go into that a bit. And in this episode, we talk a lot about identity and gender and how we fit in or how we don't fit into these boxes that we've created around us. And we delve a bit into polyamory, which is how Bonnie's son came to be in the world, and he turned out to be a really amazing individual, I'd like to add. Thank you very much. And we talk about how important chosen family is to the queer community, and also how important it is for our community to have affirming spaces to be in. And Bonnie and Leland are really into creating these spaces. And so that's what I'm going to say there. They've created some conferences that y'all might want to attend, and we talk about them in this here episode. And one of them is coming up next month, and you might want to attend it. Let me tell you, I could talk to these two for hours. This conversation went so many places that I wasn't expecting, and I loved every second of it, and I was here for it. So I want to get that tape rolling for you. Before I roll the tape, though, I got to tell y'all about, in my personal life, the kids are finally back in school. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen? They're finally back in school. We are back to the normal routine. This last week has been tough. Starting school on a Thursday is crazy talk. I don't know why they do that to us. There's no camps to put them in. So I'm here trying to work while they're trying to bother me. But they're back in school. And I had originally planned on posting this like huge celebratory post on social media. I was going to do like a dancing video, as I do on social. If you follow me on the social at the Queer Family Podcast on all the channels, you'll see I do a lot of silly dancing videos. And I had one, and I actually posted one right after I dropped them off at school. And then I promptly took that shiz back down because I remembered, oh crap, there was a freaking school shooting last night in Georgia. And I felt like the dancing video in happiness of my children being back at school was not sensitive to what just happened. So I took that down, and like worst fear, worst nightmare, more shootings, another shooting. Are you freaking kidding me? And I didn't want this. I don't want to make my intro so serious all the time, and I try not to, but like shit keeps happening that I am just in shock about. Like, what kind of a world are we living in? Where people can righteously preach, like in government, that the government shouldn't make them keep their guns locked up and away from their children because it's their right to do whatever they want with them. But in the same breath, literally in the same breath, that they preach that parents should be arrested for giving their children life-affirming care, which is really what gender-affirming care actually is, right? Or that folks who have uteruses shouldn't have control over what they do with their own uteruses. Uteri? Like, what kind of a world is this? What is happening? Or, you know, the world that says that, you know, you should be able to do whatever you want with your guns and your kids, but God forbid people like my wife and I, or Bonnie and Leland, get married or raise families. Oh my God, groomers. I can't even. Like, the world feels upside down, and my heart, as I'm sure all of yours, goes out to anyone who has been remotely touched by this school shooting that has just happened, or any school shooting. This is crazy. This is insanity. Come on. I'm sorry. So that just freaking happened. But what I do know for sure, and what I can find hope in, and what I think we can all find hope in, is that our community is a strong one. And we are not afraid to be different. And we are not afraid to embrace others' differences. And we know the power of true acceptance. And we know how far it can go. And we know how it can change lives. And it can keep lives. It can keep people alive. And that's why I'm glad to know folks like Bonnie and Leland and so many other guests that I get to speak to on this here little show that could. And these folks are doing their part to make this world a better place for all, y'all. Come on, true equality. Let's go, let's go, let's go, and let's stop the violence in the school shootings. I can't even. Okay, all right, let's get to Bonnie and Leland, because you don't need to hear me on my soapbox once again. It's all about uplifting, highlighting, celebrating, and normalizing LGBTQIA families and folks. And this one does that. You're going to have a good time in this episode. I can't wait for you to hear Bonnie and Leland. It's a good one. All right, y'all. Helen, Beulah, Gerson, Nicole, everyone, roll that tape, please. Thank you so much. Enjoy, folks. Enjoy.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Leland and Bonnie.
Hi. Nice to see you.
It is very nice to see you too. I'm really excited to talk to you. I think we have a lot to delve into. So without further ado, why don't we just get right into your 30-second elevator pitch? Are we ready?
Sure.
Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go.
My name is Leland, and I was biologically born as a female. I changed my name at the age of 54 after having top surgery to Leland, which was my dad's middle name. I have always known since I was at the age of 5 that I was not like the typical girls. I kind of just lived my life because we didn't talk about that kind of stuff back then. But I was always a very successful athlete, so it wasn't really questioned. I grew up in Iowa, and so if you could play sports, they didn't really care about how you identified. They just didn't talk about it. They just wanted you to put the ball in the hoop. So I was very good at that. So I was never given any kind of hardship about my identity, sexuality, or gender affirmation until I was, well, actually, the first administration with Donald Trump is actually when I started to feel a lot of pressure from the community and from, you know, the town I live in. And as far as being questioned about my gender and sexuality a lot more, I never felt that kind of discrimination before. And I feel it now a lot. We have run several different LGBT community businesses. We had a surgical recovery center for transgender and non-binary individuals. And then now we also have a conference, Beyond Gender, coming up in October. So I'm 67 years of age and living the dream.
Boom. Okay, we went slightly over, but I won't hold it against you because you had a lot to get in there. I am really excited to kind of dig into everything. And I haven't heard anything from you, Bonnie, about when did you come into the picture with Leland? Yeah. And, you know, what is your story together?
We met in 2001, and we've been together ever since. It's been an amazing journey. I am also in the medical community and now finally gay, retired. Semi. I have to say semi because Beyond Gender, of course, pulled me out of it. And we're excited to have that conference.
I'm excited to learn about the Beyond Gender conference. But before we get into it, I want to know how we kind of got, how you got to creating the Beyond Gender conference. And so I kind of want a little more backstory on the two of you. And of course, since this is the Queer Family Podcast, I want to know a little bit about family. If there's a family and how it came to be and how y'all show up in the world. So can we take it back? Leland, you touched a bit, you know, on feeling different as a kid, but being accepted and then, you know, finally getting to the point where you're not feeling accepted. And can we talk about you? When did you kind of come out?
So I came out at 15.
Oh, Bonnie, yeah. You came out early.
I did. And my parents knew before even I knew.
Oh, really?
I was a tomboy and I was all into dressing in jeans and a t-shirt. And when I came out, I went to my parents and they had heard that I was with somebody and they wanted to know about it because she was my best friend. And I'm like, yes, Mom, there we have it. And she's like, well, we've always known. We were just ready for it to happen. They were very accepting. I was lucky. I grew up in New York on Long Island, and I came out in school as well. Everyone knew in school.
And everybody was fine?
Yeah, I was lucky. I will say that.
What year was this? Was this the 70s?
I came out in, I think it was 1971.
Uh-huh. Wow, interesting. Interesting. It's like right when the gay civil rights movement is really just kind of starting, too.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was with the same girl for several years.
Uh-huh.
And then after I left high school, I just continue on my journey that way. And I was with another wonderful woman.
Then you got married.
Then I got married.
To a man.
I did, who was very accepting. And this was the main, most amazing thing. I met this guy at a party.
Yeah.
And it was a gay party. This really tall, dark, handsome man just walks in. And he has a little baby in his hands. And I'm like, who is that? And the girl who was having the party, who was a lesbian, said, oh, that's my ex. And it just went from there. And we were married for years, but we were in a polyamorous relationship with my girlfriend and him. So it was one of those kind of things.
Okay. I am here for this. Okay. All right. So wait. Okay. I got to unpack a lot here. So, okay. When you were young and you came out and you had your girlfriends, how did you identify? Because back then it was really like there weren't that many, you know, names that we could call ourselves.
Right. So back then, you know, it was basically, oh, there goes the dyke.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's what it was. It's like, oh my God, I'm a butch. But the truth is, this is really funny. I did have short hair. I identified as a dyke. And that's how I did it for a very long time. I honestly don't think my femininity came out until we were together, or like right before we got together.
Wait, till you and Leland were together. So the ex-husband didn't bring out your femininity?
Not so much.
Interesting. No. Okay, so wait. All right, okay. Okay, Bonnie. So you're at this party. It's full of gay folks. Yay, we love that. A man walks in and you think, had you been attracted to men before?
I don't know where it came from.
It was just
but
him.
There it was. And I think it was more the energy. I'm an energy human. Mm-hmm. So I go with the energy. I don't, the outside is just not about it for me. Mm-hmm. The inside is all about it. But when he walked through the door, I was like, wow, there was just something there. And we were together for 13 years.
Wow. And he was also queer himself. Like, oh no. Oh, okay. Okay. Wait, Oh, Bonnie, I feel like I have so much to learn. You know what? You are not the only person I've talked to who kind of was like doing this sexual thing in the 70s. And it's like, it's, right. we go all over the place in the set. I don't know what happened to us now because now we're in all these little boxes and, but in the 70s, whoa, it was like a free for all. It seems like sometimes
it was very free love back then.
Yeah.
But I honestly was only with one or two people that were best friends at the same time. That was it for me.
So you were in a polyamorous relationship with, well, you married him.
I'll keep it real simple. I was like the monkey in the middle. Okay. He and her were friends, but they were never together. She okay. was 100% queer, 100% lesbian. That's it. And I consider myself trisexual. I'll try anything with anyone that I feel the energy with. Right?
Yeah. That they. I think they call that pansexual now, but trisexual works
pansexual,
too.
Right? So I like to stay open to it all.
But they had a son.
But then we had a child. Yes, we did.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Okay. Back it up. Because so you married him, but his friend, that friend was the one that you were in a polyamorous relationship with?
She was a friend first, and then I got married, and she joined in as a relationship. This way I had the best of both worlds. I was lucky. I have always been a lucky penny in that.
Oh, so you were able to go to both of them, but they didn't, they were like, nope, not interested. Okay, Bonnie, I see you. Wow, I love this. So then, okay, so then you ended up getting pregnant. You had a baby. Walk me down the path. Walk me through it.
Okay, so we can fast forward because I was with him for a long time. Mm-hmm. It was time to leave and to be my full true self. And I moved to Florida and I was here for a while and I got into, back then it was the AOL chat rooms and that's where we met.
She saw
I saw
As you do. And then you moved in together real fast.
We actually waited a year and did a long distance relationship because we felt that was best.
Okay. That's great.
So she was in South Florida and I was in Central Florida and we went back and forth on the weekends and then we moved in together.
Okay. And your kiddo was how old at this time?
He was already up and out. I mean, he's in his 40s.
He already always knew that mom is queer in, you know, some way.
Oh my God. He's always known, always known.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, mom, yeah, you know, go for it.
He was raised by his mom, his dad, and his mom's best friend.
Right.
That's how that was. And he was very accepting and is accepting today as well. Always has been.
What did he call mom's best friend? Did he have a special name for her or just by her name?
By her name?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, but that was your family unit, which is this is the queer community. I love us. I freaking love us because you created your own unique family unit that really worked for you. And it sounds like your son is, you know, fully out there and like accepting and loving and all the things. I mean, I never met him, but sounds like it to me. Leland, we haven't really said how you identify.
I'm actually two-spirit. My grandmother was Apache. One of my grandmothers was Apache and my other grandmother was Seminole. But I didn't know that until I was in my late 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know. I actually didn't know I was a girl until I was 5.
Interesting.
The teacher told me. I didn't know. I didn't. We never talked about it. And I did everything with my dad. I mean, when we were going to go to kindergarten, my dad said, let's go shopping for school clothes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't talk about private parts or anything at the house. And I had a little short pixie haircut and was straight across and straight across a little. And I always wore a baseball cap. Mm-hmm. because I played baseball all the time with the boys. So when we went to go shopping, we went to Woolworth's. Yeah. I don't know if people.
I remember that.
And yeah. I picked out a little pair of Wrangler jeans and some sneakers and socks and a t-shirt and a baseball cap.
Yeah.
And so, and laid my clothes out for school, and nobody said anything to me. And so the next day I got dressed. I was all excited about going to school. And, you know, he walked me to the corner and I went to school. There was all these people over here on one side that had curly hair and those little patent leather black shoes yeah. with white little lace socks and dresses. And then there was my people with the jeans and the shirts tucked in. My shirt was tucked in. I had a belt on, you know. And so I was all ready for school. And we were in the classroom and everything. Everything was going fine. I grew up in Iowa. So there was probably 12 people in my class.
Right.
That's it. Kindergarten, you know. So then we went to phys ed and we were playing dodgeball. And even at that age, I was very athletic. I was very agile and ahead of like the little boys, really. Mm-hmm. And so we went to play dodgeball and she said, all the little girls line up over here and all the little boys line up over here. And so I went with my people.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this. It was one of the most defining moments in my entire life because she walked over to me and grabbed my arm kind of hard. And she said, Kathy, you're over here. And she dragged me over to those girls. And I was like, I was shocked. I didn't know what was going on.
They're like, these aren't my people.
And I remember I was so shocked that I was the first one to get hit with the dodgeball. And that would have never happened. I probably would have won, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they called my dad in and my dad came to school. My dad looks pretty much like me, only much more masculine, bigger feature, but we look a lot alike. My dad came to the principal's office and I'll never forget it because it was those wooden chairs when my feet wouldn't hit the ground because I was so little. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting there and the principal had like horn rim glasses on and a pocket cover thing. Mm-hmm. And he said to my dad, he goes, Mr. Coble, your daughter has to come to school tomorrow dressed in a dress that hits her knees. And just said the whole dress code had to happen. I was just sitting there going like, why would I be dressed in a dress?
You're so confused. Yeah.
And so my dad just took a while to kind of absorb what was going on. And I'll never forget. He just stood up and he goes, come on, we're going to go home. And he got my hand and we stood up and he just looked at this guy and went, that's not likely to happen. And that was the last I heard of it. I never heard any more of it. I never
Holy
heard another
shit.
Word. I went to school dressed how I went to school, and then I never had a bit of problem all through grade school, high school. In fact, in high school, I was very, very popular with the girls. They all piled into my cars, and I had the same girlfriend all through high school. She was a track star. She was amazing.
Of course you did. Of course you, of course you were, and of course you did. But did you ever talk to your dad about it, you know, like from as an adult? Like, what were you thinking, Dad? Like, you knew I was...
My dad passed away.
But it seems so awesome and ahead of his time and like badass that he was like, yeah, no.
And he was very calm. He was just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And we left and
never happened.
It never happened. And,
wow.
You know, we never had that issue again. And the team is funny because we played dodgeball after that and it would always have to pick teams. Uh-huh. We never had like girls and boys. We just picked teams. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the teacher got them. I don't know what my parents had to go through. It's kind of funny. I just kind of lived in the shadows. Like we never talked about it, but I never had any grief about it ever.
I think we were both really lucky.
Yeah. Not from teachers. I had no grief. I was the head of the bat. I was a basketball captain. I was the captain of the track team.
But you were on the girls' teams.
Correct.
So you did have to play on the girls' teams.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. But we had basketball uniforms. They were shorts and shirts.
Right, right, right. It's not very different.
The next time I had a grief with it, the only time I can remember again is when I went to nursing school. So I went to nursing school and you could choose slacks or dresses. You could choose. So I chose slacks and you had this uniform you had to wear. That was fine. Except when we got to OBGYN, to my rotation in OBGYN, when we went to the hospital, they said, every female must wear this dress.
The fuck?
And I was traumatized. I was like, I have never. So we had to wear hose And every time I would go to put the hose on, as soon as they would hit my crotch area, I would throw up. I couldn't.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get them on for anything. So I would wear the ones that just went up above my knees because I couldn't stand it. Because every time it would go up, I would just feel sick.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it is that physical and it's that visceral, right? So that's how deep this is for people that the rest of this world needs to understand. This is not like we're not putting something on here. It's you.
It's so funny because, like, I really don't know that I always get they, them. I don't know that I really get, but I am it. I am they, them. But I don't really still, like, I never put so much thought into gender in my whole life until those last 8 years or so, because I just was. I just went through life. Like, I don't, and like right now, you know, somebody will say, oh, so you're the man. I'm like, the least appealing thought in my head right now is being a 67-year-old white male. That is not, you know.
I get it. Yeah.
I don't feel feminine, but I don't want to be a man. I mean, I'm just right in the middle. And I never understood why. And fast forwarding, I made it through nursing school. I did make it. I made a joke of it, like I always do everything. So, because I was really good with the babies. So people would just, you know, be like, oh, Miss, like, what did they call me? The man mom or something like that. I don't know. But, it was really fun. My students, my fellow students were fun, you know, because we had gay guys being nurses and stuff like that.
Of course.
So it was okay. And the funny thing is, I never really understood anything. But I remember when I was 10, we were having Easter at my grandmother's house. My grandmother and grandfather were pretty wealthy and they had a pretty good sized house in Iowa. And she was fixing brown gravy. And I remember my aunt was very pretentious and she's like, why do you let that child dress like that to my mom? She said, you need to make her put on an Easter dress and everything. That's ridiculous. She's out there with the little pigs and all that. And my grandmother, I remember saying, you just need to leave that child alone. She's two spirit. And I remember I didn't understand what that meant. My grandmother was very, very beautiful. She had high cheekbones, dark complexion, black, jet black hair, and very slender and very classy. She always told everybody she was European because she married a white, rich man. Mm. So I asked my mom when we were on the drive home, I said, how come grandma keeps saying I'm two-spirit? And she said, well, that's because you're a Gemini. Well, that's what I thought she meant. But then come to find out when I was in my 50s, almost 60s,
right. Mm-hmm.
After I had my breasts removed, and I was in my 60s. I asked my cousin, I said, you know, it's so weird. We're in New Mexico and I feel like I'm at home, you know, like this is where I belong. And my cousin said, well, you should, because that's where our ancestors all lived after the Trail of Tears. And I was like, I remember I had goosebumps everywhere. Remember how it was?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was amazing. And I said, well, why didn't anybody tell me? He said, grandma could never admit her heritage. But she was Apache, and then my other grandmother was Seminole. I had no idea. And then it made perfect sense to me. Yeah, I got my tattoo, my two-spirit tattoo. It made perfect sense to me then why, because I don't want to get into too much of a story, but the Native Americans have like five genders.
Yes, I would love for you to go into this, because I feel like there are listeners out there who probably are like, two-spirit, what exactly is that? So tell us. I would love to hear more.
A lot of the tribes of the Native Americans have multiple genders, but the one that I researched for my grandmother's was five genders. They have the extreme masculine, extreme feminine, then the regular masculine, regular feminine, then they have the middle man, the medicine man, the spiritual two-spirit in the middle. That's usually the person that does the medicine stuff, the spiritual guidance and all that. That's usually your middle person, and that's the person that they call two-spirit. So a lot of times the masculine, feminine, masculine, however you want to put it, would stay at the camp and take care of the women. And some of the more masculine women would go out and actually fight the wars.
Right. But,
and the two-spirit people were very revered because they were the even keel in this, you know, in the tribes. And so once I started looking into it and learning it, I realized that that's even though sometimes it's even hard for me to understand or to relate to, because it's ingrained in our heads, man and woman. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, it's just all made up.
Yeah, it is. It's a construct.
That's right.
It's a construct.
Just like blue is for boys and pink is for girls. It's just a color. It doesn't have anything to do. So then I finally settled into myself, because even the trans community was giving me a hard time. After I had my breasts removed, I had large obtrusive breasts. They were the worst nightmare of my whole life. And as soon as they were gone, I was like, oh, yeah, this is how I'm supposed to feel. Now, while I do think it might be nice to have a male anatomy once in a while, I mean, let's face it, it might be. I'm grateful to be born biologically female, because I like the train of thought. Knowing how it is to be female, I think helps guide you how to be with a female a lot easier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to describe to a man when a woman has menstrual cycles and when a woman, because they don't have them.
Right.
But for me, once you have them, even though if you're defining yourself as masculine, you still get it a lot better. Uh-huh. So once I found out about the two-spirit thing, I was like, oh, that's definitely me. You know, I love my female side, but I lean a lot heavier toward my masculine side.
He definitely embraces his masculine side.
But mentally, this is weird.
Yep.
Mentally, she's more masculine than I am.
Interesting.
Emotionally,
when it comes to processing and delving in and let's talk it out type stuff.
I'm very soft-hearted.
Yeah.
It's changed a little in the last few years. I've gotten a little harder, but
I've gotten softer.
And she's gotten softer. So we've molded into each other.
That's the one thing we can be certain of is change, right? That's the truth. I just think it's really just fantastic that not only was your dad so freaking cool about it, your grandma was just like, she's two-spirit. Leave her alone. Let her be. Wow. Like, if only. And if only we had this expansive view of gender like that, things could be so much easier.
And the political climate we're in right now explains a lot of it, because they saw how much change was happening and they freaked out, and now they're trying to put the brakes on it. But the truth is that all of this stuff was basically made up by white men by men, but mainly white men.
Yep.
And they created this world for themselves where they can be at the top of the food chain over everyone. And it was never, the Christians, it's never meant to be that way. Mm-mm. It was never meant to. It was all a creation. And then when they saw their creation was starting to kind of fall apart, they were like, we can't let this happen. You know, we can't let the power and all of this stuff happen. And so now this is where we are politically. But the truth is that it really is just a construct. Like you said, I mean, it's all made up. Every word we use for something, every expression, all of this stuff is just all made up. You know, and we have to recreate that now.
Yeah.
And that's where the pushback is.
Well, now we're getting a lot of pushback, and they're politicizing our identities and our bodies.
They got to take control of stuff again. When Roe versus Wade got overturned, we knew we were on a downhill slide.
Yeah.
But we all do have to come together. And the funny thing is, I was really astounded that, President Biden stepped aside. Of course, people were saying step aside. Then when he did, they're like, why are you doing that? It's like sometimes the Democrats are just too wishy-washy, you know. But I think maybe this could be the opportunity for the huge change if we could just all get our stuff together. All of us have to just put everything aside and just do the right thing.
And that's where Beyond Gender was really where we sat back and said, it's for everybody.
Yeah, so let's talk about it.
It's for the entire spectrum. Like people were saying, well, is it just going to be for trans? It's like, no, we're not labeling this for anything. This is for everyone, including friends and family, your partners. It's also so full of an educational track. And people are missing that mark. They're not seeing that it's not only about education. We also have a medical side of it. So questions can be asked in the panels. We have a lot of great doctors coming and psychologists.
So how did we get there? The way that we got there was because I've never had kids. Mm-hmm. I raised my two nephews until they were almost in their 20s, financially and emotionally. Mm. So I never really had children of my own. So once I had my top surgery, I remember I was just recovering and I was at the doctor's office and we were listening to all these people from all these different countries that couldn't navigate. First of all, a lot of them couldn't speak English. They were from Italy and all different countries. And I remember I had my surgery on December 1st and
by February 15th,
the doors for New Beginnings, which was the surgical recovery center. Cause I said to Bonnie, let's go rent a big mansion and start a recovery center. And she's like, honey, can you just recover first? But it took us 2 months to put together a $70,000 project.
Wow.
Buy a van. We rented a big mansion. And, you know, each one of those kids just felt like it was filling a hole for me not having kids.
And I want to also clarify, because somebody did ask us this once before. It wasn't kids that are 12, 13, 14. You had to have been 18 and over.
It was of age.
It was all of age.
This is why the Beyond Gender conference needs to happen, because people need to learn what the real realities are and stop spreading this misinformation that is based in some ignorant bullshit, excuse my French. So what was this center? So this center was for folks who had done anything from top surgery to any kind of gender affirming surgery.
So yeah, we would pick them up. We would pick them up at the airport. Because a lot of them, their families couldn't afford to come from other countries, so they would just send their child. I call it a child because I was in my 50s.
Right,
okay?
They were usually most of them were in their 20s. And we had some, 60-something, and one was 70.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that some of their families were not accepting of this.
Correct. We had a lot of that. So we would pick them up. We both have medical license. So we would pick them up from the airport, take them to all of their appointments, take them to surgery, give them all of their aftercare and get them back on their plane and their food. Mm-hmm. And they only paid the price of a hotel room. That was it. So all of our care was free.
And that was like only $130 a night.
Yeah, at the most. That was at the high end.
And you helped them recover. And so they would spend the time there that they needed to recover. And I can imagine that some of these surgeries, this is a big recovery.
Yeah. Usually stay typically 7 to 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had almost 1,000 patients.
We had about 1,000 patients over the 8 years.
Wow.
Why did Beyond Gender happen? So I told you a little bit about this. And I'm going to be transparent because I'm not ashamed of it at all. So Bonnie and I actually were involved in the fetish community. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it.
But I know Bonnie was, because I've already heard enough about Bonnie.
Bonnie was. Of course I was. She corrupted me. But we actually went to a party in South Florida. It was just scary. You know, with both of us being in the medical field, we were seeing things at that party that we were like, holy crap, that is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
So we were bored, I guess.
I know that young people today love to talk about the choking and the asphyxiating of, I don't know, I don't do it. I have no judgment over it. To each their own, but I don't know I don't know what you call it, but is that what you mean? Like things like that?
Well, there was something really extreme that happened. A man lost part of his anatomy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, and they actually took it to the hospital to be reattached.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, this is kind of creepy, scary. And to be completely frank, at the time, we also looked and said, you know, this could be something we could make some money at. Mm-hmm. Which didn't really turn out to happen. But the other part did happen. So we created a place where people could come and learn those things, those types of things, safely.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I haven't even been to half of the classes that we have like 60 workshops at this event. Mm-hmm. I haven't even been to half of the classes because they don't interest me.
And what is this event called? This one that you're speaking of?
This one's called Beyond Leather.
Beyond Leather. And it still happens, or Oh, it still happens. So this is a way.
We take the entire hotel every year.
Yep, this is the 17th year.
That's amazing.
This will be our 17th year, yeah.
For listeners out there who, you know, who are interested in, I know we all have our things. We all like different things. Mm-hmm. And so to have a place where you can go to make sure that you can stay safe about it is really freaking important. And don't just learn it on the streets. Yeah. Like, that's what I say to my daughter about drugs. Like, no, come to me. Don't learn it from your friends about everything, you know?
Well, you know, the thing is that people, when they first hear about fetish, usually they think of dungeons and crazy stuff. And so here's what happens at the event, just to make a long story short. We have workshops all day long, and it tells you how to do all kinds of different things. And we have relationship classes. We have a burlesque show. We have a fire show. We have a banquet dinner, lube wrestling. Yeah. And then, so it's not scary at all. We take the entire hotel. And then what happens is at night, there's a space for you to be able to go and practice any of the things that you've learned under supervision.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all supervised. Nobody just has a free for all. So it's not drugging and drinking.
No.
If I can see that you've been drinking or that you've been drugging, you'll be asked to go to your room. Mm-hmm. So it's very safe as far as that goes. We have people who monitor all of the stuff that's going on constantly. Mm-hmm. We're at a very popular 5-star hotel. So it's not, you know,
right.
It's a 5-star fetish event.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to say it that way. Yeah. And so that's how Beyond Gender happened, kind of, because we were thinking we already had it planned in 2019, but then COVID hit. You can't put it on a conference during COVID.
No, especially if it has to do with any kind of sex.
So then when all this politics came about, we said, you know what, maybe it's time that we started again, because what Beyond Leather did for the fetish community in South Florida was it gave people a place to come together and to be able to say, okay, each year we're all going to get together despite our differences, despite anything that we think, we're going to be able to get together and have fun for the entire weekend, have an adult weekend. This is also an 18 above. Of course, we don't have kids there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we thought, well, if we can do that for one community, maybe we can do that for another community.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, it's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Well, so explain exactly what the Beyond Gender conference, what your mission is, what it's for, and then let's go into why it's been a challenge. I mean, I have ideas about why it's been a challenge, but
Beyond Gender was a conference that we wanted to be able to bring all aspects of gender together. The diverse, like gay boys, the lesbians, the trans people, bring surgeons in, therapists, entertainment, vendors,
a formal dinner,
prom night, a youth program. So you could bring your kids. This is an event you could have your kids at.
Anyone under 16 is complimentary.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the challenges? I think, well, certainly the politics are a challenge, but you know, a lot of people are fleeing for Florida. A lot of people are leaving.
But with all the building, you wouldn't know it because
people
are coming and they're building on every opportunity of land.
But a lot of the trans community and people with trans kids and stuff like that are leaving.
Well, they're afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem is there's really no place to run to.
No, it's getting bad everywhere. I mean, hopefully, you know, we can take a big turn for the better with all the crap that's going on in politics right now. Like, oh, my God. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we get to a better place here. But it is all very scary. And so there does need to be a lot of education surrounding gender and sexuality and anything that pertains to the LGBTQIA community, as I like to say.
Yeah, we also have attorneys coming to explain the law and what your rights are.
There's so many people out there actually trying to convince people that we're trying to bring children over. And you know what the sad part is that some of them are from our own community. There is one person especially that has been in the trans community for 40 years, and now he's just spewing really terrible things. I mean, he was a porn star. And he's just acting like You know, we're giving people don't just hand out these surgeries. It's not like that. They're not trying to have surgeries on 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds.
They're
acting like they're doing all this terrible stuff. And for a lot of people, like for me, if I had known that gender affirming stuff was available at an early age, I might have transitioned to a male back then, you know.
Right. Also, you know, gender affirming care does not only include surgery. There is so much more that goes into gender affirming care. It can be therapy. That's gender affirming care. It's so much more than just that. And so I think that's where this great divide is in our country and probably the whole world when it comes to this stuff. Like, no, we're not converting your children to change their freaking genders or their sexualities. We're not teaching children to be gay because it doesn't work that way. And we're not trying to get your kids to like surgerize their genitalia. Like, what?
No.
That's why things like this need to exist. And then we need to figure out a way to get it to the masses, the folks who would never even attend something like this. Like, that's the tricky part.
Where so many people now are attempting suicide.
Yes.
Oh, it's really
people are dying.
And some of them are not. And then they're upset that they are still here. This conference is to bring people together and give people a support system.
And for us to see that our diversity is really our strength. It really is.
Yes.
But you know, a lot of the problem too is that there's very few people have transitioned like partway or something and then decided it wasn't for them. Mm-hmm. And then they just go on social media and just absolutely make it seem like that's the norm. And the thing is that
that's what they glom onto
first
that.
Of all.
Yeah,
that's
they glom
right.
onto that.
And you know what? So you made a mistake. Because there are some people who just jumped on the bandwagon. That's for sure. That's going to be that way. I mean, there's people. What was the white girl saying she's black?
Right.
I mean, come on. There's always going to be an exception. But let's look at the mainstream. We're not all the flaming person at the front of the parade.
Right.
We're not.
Right. No, we're a varied, diverse community.
Right. And while there is a place for them, they get to be them. But there are also, think of all the amazing creators that have been gay. Mm-hmm. I mean, the LGBT community has contributed to all of the arts and all sports and everything else. I mean,
forever.
We've been here forever.
Mm-hmm. We're not going away. And see, this is the most beautiful thing that I wanted to share is that we're taking a stand for the community. We're not running. We're not leaving.
No.
Florida is our home. It's been our home for 40 years. We're here to stay.
We planned our retirement here. I mean, we have a beautiful home. You know, we've planned our retirement to live here.
Right.
I'm not
going
to pack up and leave.
Right. We want to share with individuals out there. They're not alone. And people are not running away. I don't know if you've heard of something called Free Mom Hugs. Sarah Cunningham.
She's phenomenal.
She's going to be the keynote speaker. And she goes all over the country and the world to unite individuals in their happiness.
She does stand-in weddings for people. Like if your parents don't want you, you can do stand-in weddings.
Right.
And even with us, like New Beginnings, when we had the Recovery Center, we still hear from hundreds of them.
Of the patients.
Yeah.
Like on Father's Day and different stuff. And I've seen their families grow. Like, you know, they came to me and they looked like a lesbian kind of, you know, in transition. And then they transitioned and some of them didn't transition. Like I didn't transition. I just made myself feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, you know, and it is really hard living in the middle.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
Because people usually think I'm sir to hear and then they think I'm ma'am. And then I talk and then they call me ma'am and then they get all confused.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad that we've put such emphasis on just the two structures. You know, you're either male or you're female, because there's so much more to the gender spectrum.
Why do we have to label everything? I've also noticed a lot
of because it makes it easier
to identify. Some people just don't want to identify. They want to wear a skirt one day and jeans another day and nails one day, and chop off their hair the next day, grow a beard one day and maybe not.
I don't really understand why it matters to anyone.
It shouldn't matter to anybody except the person who's experiencing it, right?
And the person that they're with, maybe.
There was one person I interviewed, M, who I asked, you know, how would you talk to parents who are having a hard time with it? And, you know, and Em said, if when somebody tells you who they are, just believe them.
Just believe them.
That's it.
A friend of mine from California said one time, because I was struggling, like, you know, why I was getting so much flack from the trans community and everything. Because when I had my breasts removed, a lot of the people that would come to the retreat would say, oh, so when are you going to start taking testosterone? When are you going to? I'm like, I'm not taking testosterone. I don't want to lose my hair. And I don't want to, you know, there's certain things. I mean, I shave my legs and everything. I don't want all that extra hair. I'm already, I told him if you wait long enough, you'll still get it no matter what. But so my friend told me, she said, you know what? She said, you just keep wanting to give people chance after chance after chance. She goes, why don't you just listen to them the very first time? As soon as they tell you or show you who they are, that's who they are.
Exactly. It's not your place to question it. It's not. It's none of our business. They are who they are. And so you just take them for who they are and we move on. Boom, done. Easy.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like when we're talking about a family podcast, I still feel like I have a family of hundreds of kids out there because they still say happy birthday to me. They get in touch with me. They say happy Father's Day. They get me and they send me pictures. It's amazing. They send me pictures of their weddings. We've been invited to several weddings, but, or their kids, they're having kids now. And, in fact, one was one of my all time favorites. He was from Iowa. Like I was, his father was a Baptist minister. And when he came, they would not support him at all. And he just had, his wife just had twins. They showed me all their pictures and stuff. And it was amazing. So, and we also, because of the other community, we also have an extended family of 14. We get together for the holidays and they range in age from 21 to 60.
Now it's the 20, yep, 23 all the way up to
65.
Yeah, so, it's and chosen family. It's a huge part of our community. Chosen family. We all have them. We all have because they're very important. You know, we have to create our community. And it's very important what you're doing. And it is, we all need a place to feel not alone. We need to feel that we are a part of a community. And then the rest of the world needs to see that this is actually, you know, this is humanity right here. We are human, just like you. And
we just have to get over this political hurdle.
Oh,
we have to get past this political hurdle. If we could accomplish getting over this, because you know how you get the most resistance right before the big break usually. Mm. So we're getting all of this resistance. They're pulling out every punch that they can. If we could just get over this hurdle, it would be amazing. That would change. It would change everything.
I'm knocking wood.
I know.
We're in a tumultuous time right now. We're teetering on an edge and I'm hoping it teeters in the right direction. But this has been wonderful talking. And so, okay, where can everybody find the conferences and when are they coming up?
Okay. So Beyond Leather, the fetish event, if you're interested in, even if you're new or you just have a little bit of interest, you know, and you want a safe place to see if it's anything that would interest you, that's beyondleather.net.
Right. Okay. Okay, great.
And then Beyond Gender Conference is October 4 through 6th.
Right. And that's beyondgenderconference.org.
Right.
Right.
And that is a nonprofit organization. It's a 501. So that's the two conferences.
Okay, awesome. So they'll be in the show notes so everybody can find the links and go check them out if this is something that you feel like you need to be a part of. There's a place for all of us. And I think it's important and I think you're doing some good work. So I appreciate you.
We have scholarship programs for both events and I never turn anybody down.
This is
down.
Oprah. I'm telling you.
And
why.
You get to go. You get to go. Because I think it's important for people to be able to, a lot of people have financial issues and I think it's important for people to still have access. My goal for Beyond Gender at some point is for no one to ever have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. So we're at the point this year that if people want to sign up and register, we're willing to do scholarships for most everybody.
Okay, that's good to know.
For the registration.
Sure.
And are non-queers invited as well? You know, like if it's like
absolutely.
A parent who doesn't get it and really wants to try to understand their kiddo or just really a
absolutely.
Curious, you know, really
parents,
wants to understand.
Family members.
Everyone.
Because Sarah, I don't know if you know, but Sarah Cunningham from Free Mom Hugs,
mm-hmm.
She's a friend of ours and she lives in Oklahoma and she also has a book, How We Sleep at Night.
Mm.
And her and Jamie Lee Curtis is doing a movie with her.
Yeah.
So she was right-wing Baptist. And then she decided, I mean, her son came out at 19 and the church went nuts. And she was like, but she's heterosexual, married, you know, and she's coming. She's one of our keynotes. One of my ultimate goals would be for family members. I would love to see family members bring your children.
Yeah.
You know, we have a therapist, 40 years she's been doing family therapy and youth therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be there. We also have an amazing gynecologist that works with trans, all aspects of the trans community. She's coming. She'll answer any of your questions.
That's
we
great.
Have a surgeon from Miami, Dr. Gallagher. She is a world-renowned surgeon that does every type of gender-affirming surgery.
And can answer any questions
answer
or any
questions on any subject. Yeah.
So what we're really lucky about also is that the website is pretty much complete. So all the presenters are up there. Their workshops are up there. The schedule is on its way right now being created. But there's an event schedule that is up there now as well. It just says workshops, but it doesn't say which workshops are going to be in what slots.
Mm-hmm.
But all the workshops are up. Everything we're doing for all the days and nights are
up. I can't wait to go to prom. I didn't go to prom.
Well, I didn't go as a gay person. So I got to, you know, I need to go the other way now. I got to be a gay prom goer. My lesbian self.
Yeah, I didn't go to prom. My girlfriend went with her boyfriend. And then after prom, we got together. So I didn't go to prom.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah,
well, this has been just such a pleasure. I'm excited. And everybody go check out the conferences. Go do it. Let's raise it up. Let's build that community and let the rest of the world know that, come on, we're here.
And it's right before the election.
Yep.
Right before the election.
A month before.
And 5 miles down the road from...
You know who.
You know who.
Yeah. Oh, God. Ugh.
It's okay.
Don't say their name.
We have great security.
The hotel that we're at.
Staff.
Well, we won't need it, but the hotel that we're at is very, very excited to have us there. They're very welcoming. It's the same place we do our other event.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had any issues in 16 years. So
that's great.
We've been really good.
That's awesome.
But thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. I absolutely love this conversation. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it grow. This has been awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.